welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
We need you, God. Touch these lips of clay that I may proclaim your truth. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Give God some praise. God is still in the mind-blowing business. God will affirm to his preacher what has already went forth. I wrestled with this text that I'm going to share with you. I wrestled with this theme. The theme says, things never go as planned. That's my theme this morning. I don't know what happened to you last night, but this just affirmed what God gave me. Just look at what happened this morning. Things never go as planned. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me to stay with you, because he's continuing to direct our path. That's what he gave me. He said, things never go as planned. I don't know what your plans were this morning. My two adult children came this morning. I promised them that y'all were going to be on your best behavior. Stand up real quick, y'all. My oldest and my youngest. My daughter is the oldest. My son, he's the youngest. Those are Sister Wanda children. I apologize for the church. They told me they were going to be on their best behavior. Minister Tamika, you told me you were going to be nice this morning. Thank you, men. Amen. God is good, isn't he? And all the time, God is good. I'm going to let you sit this morning because I'm going to read the word. I got a lot of text, so I don't want you to feel like I'm making you stand. Y'all done been standing all morning already, and I'm grateful for that. I'm coming from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. Beginning at verse 1, 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And it reads, and the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him. He said to Nathan the prophet, here I am living in a palace of cedar while the ark of God remains in the tent. Nathan replied to the king. He said, whatsoever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David that this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent, as many dwellings. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since I have appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declared to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. And when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body. And I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's the word of the Lord. Things never go as planned. As human beings, I guess there are hardly any stronger aspirations than providing the best of everything for our children. It's the dream of every parent to facilitate the best possible upbringing, no matter the sacrifice. We will go out of our way to ensure our children receive the best education, the best teachers, the best tutors, the best mentors, up-to-date school curriculum, and so forth and so on. The plan is to get them ready for college, and upon graduating, to living a life of independence and self-sufficiency. The ultimate dream is to develop a plan for our children in such a way that all their future requirements are properly taken care of. Many experts would say parents who plan ahead have a better chance of making their children's future more secure. And then mom and dad can echo the words of Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. I'm free at last. Then there are proverbial quotes like, better planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. He who fails to plan, plans to fail. Planning is bringing future into the present so that you can do something about it now. Yet despite these inspirational sayings, things still never go as we plan. Sometimes the parents' home address becomes the new forwarding address for the children to receive mail again. Or the spare key our children once had finds its way back into the lock because they have nowhere to go. Although things don't go as we plan, I firmly believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Because I believe the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I thought about this personal story that my wife and her sisters tried to plan a birthday celebration for my father-in-law. I think he was like 83, turning 83 years old, 82, something like that. And so he lives in New York. So my wife was coordinating everything from down here with the pastor and the church, and it was going to be right at the church in the banquet hall. So we drove up that night, and we were at the church. We got to the church, and I said to the pastor, I said, where's my father-in-law? He says, well, we've been calling him for the last day. He won't even answer the phone. We thought something was wrong with him. My children were there. We couldn't call him because then it won't be a what? A surprise. So we concocted a story. We told my son, you call him. Tell him you're broke down somewhere and you need his help. My son called him, told him, he says, I've been thinking about you. What you been doing? He says, my father-in-law said, I've been here all day. They've been blowing up my phone. The pastor calling me, the church calling me. I don't know what they calling me for. Everybody bought it. He said, I just been letting it go to the voicemail. That's what he said. My son says, well, I'm in town and I'm broke down and I need your help. He said, you here? He said, yeah. He said, where are you? And because he knows the town, he knows exactly where you are and how you can get to his place. He said, you don't know how to get here? He says, no, Poppy, I don't. He said, don't you have that phone? What's that thing that y'all have on your phone that gives you directions? Just use that. Make a long story short, it was obvious that he wasn't coming out. So my wife took the phone from my son and said, "Daddy, come down to the church. We were trying to surprise you." He said, "Well, that shows you. Don't try to keep surprising me." He said, "That phone was ringing nonstop, and I was just looking at it. I looked at the nails, the names on it." He said, "Pastor, I ain't answering his call either." The moral of the story is clear, that things never go as planned. As I look at this Old Testament view of God's promise to David, it reminds me that things don't always go as planned. This is what we have known as the Davidic covenant. In the opening text, the Lord gives David rest from all his enemies. I'm going to make you shout in a minute just on that part. It says, after the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around him. See, the word rest is an important word, not only for David, but it reminds us of the number of blessings in the plan of God for his people. How God has blessed us in the midst of where we are. In other words, the concept of rest began with God resting in when he completed the world during creation. And this was the basis of Israel's observance of what is called the Sabbath day. That's why today is a day of rest for us. After God delivered Israel from Egypt, he also promised them rest in their own land. This is in Exodus. Now, the text this morning affirmed that the Lord had gave David rest, which speaks of the spiritual rest we have as believers in Christ. In other words, you got some spiritual rest. It's a gift. You can't earn it, and Jesus gave it to us. The scripture in Matthew says, "Come to me, all who you are weary and burdened." He says, "I will give you rest." He said, we will say our bodies are tired, but he said that's physical rest. But Jesus said, I will give you rest. In other words, Jesus will give us what nobody else can give us. Rest from the burdens of life. Rest from our sin. Rest from our weariness. Rest from fruitful toil. Rest from working all day and all night. Rest from not sleeping properly. God will give you the rest. He's trying to help us to understand, see, the trials of life are heavier than we think. And if the truth is told, sometimes we wear ourselves out. And God gives us rest from the enemy we see every day. When you look in the mirror and look at yourself, God gives you rest from that person you're looking at. Time out, I wish I could have done a better job. God says, stop that mess. I'm going to give you rest from that. I risked that. I had a better car than what like my neighbor. God going to give you rest from that. God says that I'll give you rest. You so focused on talking about how sick and tired are you of something. God said, don't worry about that stuff. I give you rest. That's what he said to David. I'm going to give you rest from all of your enemies, including yourself. Sometimes we don't think we need rest from ourselves. We do. We are our own worst enemy. See, I know you weren't going to shout, but I shouted when I read that. I say, thank you, God. Now when I go by the mirror, I try to turn my back to it so I don't have to contend with that. We are our own worst enemy. God's word is forever. He said that he will give us the rest. Because we cannot please ourselves. Our text says, David decided that the time has finally come for him to do what any self-respecting king worthy of the name should do. He said, I want to build a house for God. Notice the contrast of David's own house and that of the Lord. Here David expresses his displeasure that the presence of God is still confined in a tent. He was saying the ark of the covenant, the place that they call the Holy of Holies. Anytime Israel moved during that time, it was a tent that was collapsible because they believed that the presence of the Lord was there. How comfortable would you be if you knew that your earthly father was living in a homeless shelter and here you are living in a mansion? The human king is living in a palace while the symbolic throne of the divine king remains in a tent. See, in verse 3, Nathan replied to David. He said, whatever is in your heart, go ahead and do it. He said, for the Lord is with you. How relieved David must have felt to know that the self-eternal God is always with him. When Nathan told David to go ahead, he was encouraging the king to pursue his desires, to pursue his dreams, to see what the Lord would want him to do. Then it goes on and says, but that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan and said, go tell my servant David, thus said the Lord, are you the one? David was a man after God's own heart, but are you the one? Just like God who asked David the question, he's asking the church today the same question. Are you the one that God will use to break down the walls of injustice in our society? Are you the one to embrace diversity and cultural differences among membership? Are you the one willing to walk by faith and experience all God has for you? Are you the one to help us move out of our comfort zone into a place of dependency on him? Are you the one to help eliminate gossip that takes place right in our faces? Are you the one to be used in your family to bring peace? Are you the one to seek forgiveness even though you did nothing wrong? David has always had a desire to honor God, but are you the one? And God is asking us that today. Are you the one? You keep saying, I should have been promoted before the next person. Are you the one? It must be a reason why you didn't get that promotion, because maybe God was saying it's not your time. These are questions that the text is saying that God asked the prophet to ask David. Sometimes we think more highly of ourselves. The little bit of good that's in us, and I said a little bit. The Bible says ain't none in us. I'm giving you a little credit. But the question was posed, are you the one? And then as I look at verse 6 and 8, now, do I think David was disappointed because he was not allowed to build a temple? Yes. For a moment, I think he felt just like anybody else would, who had a desire, a vision that is bursting to come forth. That's why we shouldn't try to kill the dreams of our young people. But God's servants must learn to accept disappointments in life. There's a quote that says, disappointments are God's appointments. Even though David's dream did not come true, he did buy the land on which the temple was built. And he also provided the temple plans and wealth and materials needed for construction of the temple. See, David had been thinking about this for quite some time. He always wanted to honor God. He wanted God to be in a place where people could recognize him as the king. So I got 4 points for you this morning that I saw in the text. The first point is God reveals our past. Say, God reveals our past. God reminded David of where he took him from, what he was doing, and how God's promises has now been fulfilled. See, when you went against Goliath, God said, I was with you. He said, when you fought the giant, the Philistines, he says, I was with you. He said, when you were in various places, I have made your name famous throughout the world. God distinctly says, I was with thee wherever thou went and have cut off all thy enemies before thee. God does the same for us. He causes us to remember where we used to be. Whatever the former struggles of life that hindered us, you see, we were all have a X by our name because we're X something. We may not be following after sheep like David, but we may be following the wrong crowd. We may not have a personal hand in doing wrong, but we didn't raise our hand to do what's right. See, God has a way of revealing our past to help us remember and recognize all he has done for us. God will reveal your past. Look past where you started to discover who you can become and what you can be. Move beyond where you were born to become who you were born to be. God will reveal our past. So he was reminded David. David, remember what you were doing when I called you. You were out tending sheep. They were having a recognition party in the house. You didn't even know about it. They were getting ready to anoint the next king. They called everybody but you. But God says, I'm revealing your past. Don't worry about it. I took care of you then. He said, now I'm going to take care of you now. So I say to you, church, God is doing the same thing for us. That's why sometimes he has to remind us of where we came from and what he brought us out of, so he's taking us into something else. But sometimes we can't see it because we won't allow God to move at the pace God wants to move at. Here's the second point. But in revealing our past, God also reveals our struggles. Oh, yeah, he reveals our struggles. He reminded David, he says, when you fled from Saul, I was with you. Wherever you have gone, I have been protecting you and preserving you for a time such as this. In other words, God is saying those things that we are struggling with are no longer a threat. Because God has cut off all our enemies, the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord. God says, stop struggling and worrying about those things that you were struggling with. That means that you haven't even turned them over to God. See, you was trying to do it on your own. I told somebody the other day, I used to smoke. I was a smoker. But I couldn't stop by myself. My family would try to encourage me. They kept giving me literature. I didn't want none of that stuff because when that nicotine got in my throat, I wanted to smoke. So I had to pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Please help me. And days went by and weeks went by. Month went by, I started feeling good. And sometimes you have to change that, the surroundings of the people you hang out with. When I was at work, there was a guy that always smoked. And I would go with him. He said, brother, you want to go to lunch? I said, no, man, that's all right. I got lunch at my desk. Because I was wanted to stay where God had me. So God says, stop struggling with those things. He will reveal them. Oftentimes, we take for granted so much of what God has done in us and through us and for us. We're quick to forget the great things God has done. He understands the trials and tribulations which confront us, and he gives us assurance that wicked people will no longer oppress us any longer. Stop giving bad folks credit. If you're on the Lord's side, who could be against you? That's what he's trying to get you to see. It doesn't matter how big they look. It doesn't matter how mean they look. It don't matter what type of reputation they got. They ain't got one as big as God. That's for sure. That's what's in the book. The only person know them are the people in the local area. That's what they got. That's why you scared of him. I was raised up in South Philly. Deacon Nix used to be a bad man. Now look at the Lord. He got him a humble man sitting right there on the deacon's bench. He ain't bad no more. But he's bad in Christ. Deacon, don't take it personal. Here's the third point. God reveals our legacy. Every king is concerned about the future of his kingdom. And the Lord promised David something above and beyond anything he could imagine. David wanted to build God a house, but God promised to build David a house. God promised that. He said, I'm going to give you a destiny forever. This was an enduring destiny for David long after his death. See, as matriarchs and patriarchs of our families, when they die, it's up to those of us who have yet remained to keep the vision alive. That's what you got to do. If mama or daddy did something to remind everybody in the family and it was significant, it's up to you to make sure that their legacy live on. To make sure that the other children coming along remember what mama said about education. Remember what daddy said about getting a good job. Remember, that's the only way. This is not something you invented. God created it anyway. Where there's no vision, the people perish. God tells David his legacy will be in the person of his son. That was worth celebrating. Sometimes we want to be in competition, but this is no competition. This is a God thing. Here's the final point. God's plan is forever. Yeah, God's plan is forever. God promised David, he said, I will set up thy seed after thee. He said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This descendant will enjoy a special relationship with God. He said, if he sins, God will not reject him. Instead, God will chasten him without rejecting him. And though his seed should commit iniquity, God's mercy will not depart away from him, but that in his house and kingdom should be established forever. See, these promises related to Solomon, David's immediate successor, and the royal line of Judah. But they also related to somebody named Jesus, who is often called David and the Son of David. To him, God gave all power in heaven and earth with authority to execute his judgment. He was to build the gospel of the temple, a house for God's name, the spiritual temple of true believers to be a habitation of God through the Spirit. The word forever shows very distinctly that his prophecy looked beyond the succession of the kings of Judah, of the house of David, and embraced the throne of Christ. See, Solomon would build the temple David longed to build, but his reign would end. However, the reign of the Messiah would go on forever. David would have a house forever. David would have a kingdom forever. David would have a throne forever. And David would glorify God's name forever. You see, the covenant God announced to David is being fulfilled through David's family. There's a church today because God used David's family to bring the Savior into the world. And there's a future for Israel because God gave David the throne forever. I'm done. But if I'm done, you shouldn't want a story. Chuck, you appreciate this story. There's a young middle-aged carpenter. He was ready to retire. He told his employer contractor of his plans to leave the house building business. He said he wanted to take some leisure time with his wife and his children. He says, I'm going to miss the paychecks. I'm going to miss the friendship. He said, I'm going to miss the fellowship. He said, but most of all, I'm going to miss the routine of coming in and out and going back and forth every day. The carpenter contractor was really disappointed to lose a good worker like this. So the carpenter contractor says, do me one small favor. Just build me one more house before you retire. The young man thought about it. He says, yes, no problem. Weeks went by. Months went by. And you can tell that the middle-aged contractor, his mind just wasn't in it any longer. He just wasn't there. He started taking shortcuts. He started having shoddy workmanship. He started using inferior material. So when the house was completed, the builder came out to inspect the house. The builder opened the door with the key, turned around, looked at the young man. He says, for everything that you've done for me, this is your house. How shocked this middle-aged contractor was. If he had only did the right thing, if he wouldn't have resorted to shoddy workmanship, if he wouldn't have used inferior material, now he had to live in a house that was not too well built. And he knew that. I wonder how different my own life would be if God had revealed his plan in advance. Would I be here at Redeemer this morning? Things never go as planned. But God's plan is forever. In Jeremiah 29, it says, for I know the plans I have for you. See, what life does to us depends largely on what life finds in us. If we seek the Lord and want his best, then he will build us and prepare us for what he has planned for us. The same sun that melts the ice also hardens the clay. I'm reminded of Jonah. He planned to go to Tarshish. He decided to get on this boat, but he ended up in the belly of a whale. That's because things never go as planned, but God's plans are forever. You remember Saul on the Damascus Road? He was going to persecute and beat up Christians till he was blinded by light. See, things never go as planned, but God's plans are forever. I'm reminded of Jesus going to Nain. He broke up a funeral procession. There's this widow woman, had her only son. Jesus went up and touched the brow. The Bible says the boy stood up and started talking. Things never go as planned, but God's plans are forever. Then Jesus healed a blind man, the one that was blind from birth. The Bible says they continue to interrogate this man. What's his name? Who did it? How can you be healed and your eyes be opened by a sinner? The blind man said to them, he said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. He said, all I do know, he said, I was blind, but because of him, now I see. See, things never go as planned. I don't know why plans God has for us, but the master is the master planner. God knew that mankind would be in a fallen state, so that's why he sent his son to die on Calvary for us. I'm here to tell you today that the move this morning was God's plan. The move this morning, it wasn't by accident, but it was by God's divine providence. to move this morning. God wanted the church of the Redeemer to be redeemed. That's what the word says. I have been redeemed. Things never go as God planned, but there's a plan for you right now. The doors of the church have opened. We planned it. God says that today, I know you didn't plan to join the church, but he says, my plan for you. So if there's one today, you can come by letter. You can come on your Christian experience. You can come and be baptized. I know this may not have been what you wanted to hear today, but this is what God had for me and for you. Come on, men. Come on, sing. As we descend the invitation, is there one? Is there one? Is there one today?
I will trust.
Are you willing to trust him? Is there one? We accept you into the house of the Lord. Is there one today? Is there one? We want you to come outside the ark of safety. We want you to come into the ark of safety. If you're outside, that means you don't have a covering. Is there one?
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I.
Come on, are you willing to trust him? Come on, this morning. In order for you to trust him, you got to be in him. He's got to dwell and live in you if you want to trust him. Is there one? Come on. We welcome you to the Church of the Redeemer. Is there one?